Corinthians chapter 3 again. Now, I want to say once again, just in the way of reminder, that Paul is clear here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that salvation is of the Lord. We looked at that last time, a week before last, when we were here, that salvation is of the Lord, and it is mainly, as Paul would have, as Paul stated in these three statements, even as the Lord gave to every man. That is, people believe by hearing other people preach the gospel, preach the truth. But the point is it has nothing to do with the preacher. Because it's even as the Lord gave to every man.
Amen.
Then the next phrase is, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
Amen.
And then again, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. And here is the phrase again, but God that giveth the increase.
Amen.
You see, we do not give God credit just because we ought to.
No.
We give God credit because we must.
Yes.
It is not a 99% and 1% deal. Mm-hmm. It's a 100% deal.
Amen.
Even the ministers are enabled by God to preach what they're preaching.
Yes, sir.
And some preach the truth and don't even realize they're preaching the truth.
That's exactly right.
And remember what else I said time before last. I am not saying, and certainly neither is Paul, but and I am not saying that it is not the ministry doesn't matter. The ministry does matter.
Yes, sir.
But it's the men that don't matter.
Exactly.
God is not dependent upon any individual. But God uses individuals. And basically Paul then sums it up there this way in this chapter, verse 21. Therefore let no man glory in men. Well, I'm sure glad so-and-so preached that message to me. You're looking at it from the wrong perspective.
Exactly.
It ought to be, I'm sure glad God opened my eyes to see that truth.
Yes, sir.
That's what it ought to be. Because it doesn't matter who you hear the truth from.
Exactly.
It's hearing the truth. It's coming to believe the truth. Coming to love the truth and grasp the truth and be a part of the truth. And Joe even read it, so I'll use that verse. There are some who are never able to come to a knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
Let me say, you do not have to know the truth to be saved. But when God saves you, you will begin to know the truth.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Now, it may be a very little bit to start with.
Oh, yeah.
But there are people in this world, they do not know any truth.
That's right.
Therefore, they are not converted. Because conversion comes through knowing the truth.
Yes.
So again, I will say, Paul's clear. Salvation's of the Lord.
Yes.
And we can go back and look at, did Jonah say that simply because he thought that was the good thing to do? Or that's what he was forced to do?
Yeah.
Circumstances ruled every other option out.
Exactly.
Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
There's another way of putting it. It's basically in the negative. If God don't do it, it won't get done.
Amen.
Exactly.
That's it.
Amen.
If God don't do it, it won't get done. No matter how wise or articulate or even enabled the preacher might be.
Yeah.
If God don't do it, it will not get done. Now, as we move slightly forward in the text here from last time, Paul makes the manner of this salvation that is of the Lord. Now, he's talking about salvation here, right?
Mm-hmm.
About people who preach and people who believe the preaching. And it's even as the Lord gave to every man, right?
Yep.
Talking about our salvation here. As we move forward, Paul makes the manner of this salvation that is of the Lord to be clear as well. That's the way it's done. It's not just salvation's of the Lord and the Lord does it any old way. He does it one way.
Yes, sir.
By and through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now that to us may seem simplistic. You know, I mean, this, you're just stating the same thing over and over again. And to this group, that's basically fundamentally true. But in this world, some people see Jesus Christ as just another part of the big part of the puzzle. But Jesus Christ is the one part that if you miss that part, you've missed it all.
Amen.
That's the trouble. That's the not the trouble. That's the enormity of this thing. That's the seriousness of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Yes, you can believe in election, you miss Jesus Christ, you'll go to hell.
Exactly right.
You can believe God particularly redeems whoever he redeems, but if you miss Jesus Christ, you still go to hell.
Exactly.
So Paul makes it again clear, and look at these two verses, verse 10 and 11. According to the grace of God which was given unto me as a wise master builder. Now why was Paul a wise master builder? Because God enabled him to be a wise master builder.
Yes, sir.
So see, who gets the credit for what Paul was able to do? Paul? No. God does.
Amen.
According to the grace of God which was given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And then here is the main phrase I want to look at this morning. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see, to miss Christ is to miss. It is to have missed the prize feature of everything God's purpose to do in this universe.
Yes, sir.
Everything ultimately points to and is connected to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now think about it. At least three things in this text, that's mainly these two verses, point this out. First of all, Jesus Christ is the only foundation to salvation.
Yes, sir.
It's the only. He is the only foundation. To miss Jesus Christ is to miss the house God builds.
That's right.
Because Paul didn't say, now there's a lot of other foundations out there. He says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid.
That's right.
It's kind of similar to what Paul said when he said it. He said it in a slightly different way, but of what he said when he wrote in to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 1. And of course, this is familiar. But where he said, there are those who preach another gospel.
Yeah, exactly.
But he quickly adds, what? Which is not another.
Amen.
Because there is but one gospel.
That's right.
There are not many gospels. There is one gospel. And the message of that gospel is, guess who?
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see, the gospel is not you can be saved.
No.
The gospel is Jesus Christ has saved somebody.
Amen.
The gospel is not that there is redemption made possible. The gospel is Jesus Christ has redeemed some people.
Amen.
I will go even further. The gospel is not you can be justified in God's sight if you will believe. You know the Bible doesn't teach that?
Nope.
Yet that is called a fundamental truth of Christianity in our day. What the gospel declares is this: God in Christ has already justified a people by his blood. That's the truth of the gospel. That's the foundation.
Yes, sir.
Now, the truth of faith and justification is something that's built on top of that foundation.
Yes.
And Paul says, I've laid the foundation. Other men come along and build on that foundation, right?
That's right.
But let me tell you something. Without that foundation, all the rest of the building will do what? It will crumble and fall.
Amen.
You remember the illustration our Lord gave? There were two separate men. They both had houses.
Yeah.
And one house had a fall, and it was a great fall. You know what he said? He said, well, this one house was built upon what? Sand.
Yeah.
And the great storm came and blew and beat upon that house, and our Lord said, and great was the fall of it.
Yes, sir.
But there was another house that was built. The whole point is, it's not the house that matters so much as it is the foundation that matters.
That's it.
Our Lord made no distinction between the men's houses, but he made every distinction between the foundations.
Exactly.
Did he not?
Yes,
now somebody says, well, I'll just have me a free will house. Won't do you no good. Because a free will house don't fit on the foundation of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
You see, Jesus Christ is the kind of foundation upon which everything else depends.
Yes.
Jesus Christ's house ain't no tent. It ain't no tent. It's a building, and it says, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Amen.
We are his building, Paul says, not his tent.
That's right.
A tent is a temporary thing.
Yeah.
This building is declared to be an eternal thing.
Yes.
So again, I say, the first thing is, Jesus Christ is the only foundation to the salvation provided by God. There is no other foundation that can be laid. Now, there's a lot that can be said, and I've read some of the different writers, and they're saying, was Paul saying, okay, he laid the foundation in Corinth, but yet other men could. Here's the thing. If any man is laying a foundation, it is only God honoring if that foundation is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We could argue all day long as to whether Paul was talking about he personally laid the foundation in Corinth or he personally laid the foundation for all of the gospel truth. Mason, we could argue in and out as to exactly what Paul meant. This one thing is sure, there is no other foundation.
Amen.
Than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, Joe, if God used another man in another city to lay the foundation, it still has to be that foundation.
Amen.
And let me go so far as to say this. It has to be the truth that the Apostle Paul preached.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's not two or three truths. There is one truth. Just like there are not two or three laws, there is one law. There may be many commandments in the law, but there is one law. There may be many truths expressed in the gospel, but there is but one true gospel.
Yes.
Christ is the only foundation. And somebody says, well, that's pretty close-minded that you have to believe like Paul. No, you got to believe the gospel Paul preached.
Yes, sir.
I dare say there's probably not a one of us here today that believes like Paul believed. You know why? Because Paul got his revelation directly from God himself.
Yes, sir.
Without intermediary or anything. Without any other preachers or anything. God himself taught Paul the apostle this gospel.
Yes, sir.
And somebody who deviates from the truth that the apostle Paul preached has deviated from the one foundation.
That's it.
Secondly, the second thing, it is the grace of God that enabled Paul in this truth.
Yes.
But this is more than just a doctrinal thing, you see. See, this is a force. It's a power. According to the grace of God which is given unto me. And when grace is given, it enables a person to do something or another.
Yes, sir.
Right? Paul was a wise master builder. Why? Because God's grace enabled him. Let me go on to say this. If you believe, if you can believe, if you've repented, if you can repent, this very day, then it is God Almighty in his grace that has enabled you.
Yes, sir.
Grace is not just a doctrine. It is a force, a power of God that is real, and it causes results.
Yes, sir.
When Scripture talks about grace doing things for God's people, it means it.
Yes, sir.
It's not a theory.
Yeah.
When Paul the Apostle tells even these Corinthians, while that was not the theme of his message, yet it was a part of the truth that was laid upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. Paul told these Corinthians, and such were some of you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
now, we could look at that list. It's in chapter 6.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to look at it, and such were some of you. Does Paul mean that? Or is that just some doctrinal statement? No, that's the way you used to be.
Exactly.
It's not the way you are now.
Now,
granted, your flesh is still just as much as that as it ever was.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not who you are.
That's it.
And such were some of you. But when we look at this, the second thing here, that is the grace of God enabled Paul in this truth. I kind of tried to boil, what does that mean? According to the grace of God which was given to me. Paul says, I laid the foundation, but I never find, hear Paul ever saying, I'm the one who brought all the materials into being.
Yeah, there you go. That's right.
You see, Paul simply was revealed the materials that already existed.
Exactly.
To lay the one foundation. Paul didn't come up with these things. There are some people who believe Paul was the one that came up with the doctrines of election and predestination. That's stupidity.
Yeah.
Just as stupid as somebody told Penny the other day about someone they knew that they believe God predestinated everybody. And I know what they mean. Positively predestinated everybody. Because I know this person doesn't believe God predestinated some folks to hell.
Exactly.
By the way they talk.
Oh, yeah.
You see, the fact is, if God predestinated everybody, everybody will wind up where God predestinated them unto. And the fact is, there is a sense in which everything and everybody has been predestinated. I am of that group that's called an absolute predestinarian. I believe God absolutely predestinated everything, that I don't care whether it's a speck of dust that floats in the air. God Almighty ordained it if it's there. The fact is this, this truth that Paul declared is of divine origins.
Yes, amen.
Paul didn't come up with the foundation, he just laid it.
Exactly.
He's a master builder, not a master creator.
Exactly.
You see, Paul didn't create this gospel. He simply built it into its doctrinal statements.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Apostle Paul did. We see this emphasized, don't we, in chapter 2. Look at what he says. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. What's he talking about? He's talking about that first time he came into Corinth to preach to these folks.
Yes, sir.
For I determined not to know anything among you, save what? Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
Now let me just stop there. Already Paul's saying the exact same thing as what he says in chapter 3. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. There are other things to say. There are other things that need to be spoken, but they are to be built upon Jesus Christ. He's the foundation.
Yes, sir.
There is a repent to be preached.
Yes, sir.
But it is what is built upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our message is not repentance, because you can repent all day long and still wind up in the lake of fire.
Yep. That's true.
And there are those who have sought for repentance and couldn't find.
Exactly.
That's scary, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Oh, and if you want it, you can have it.
Can.
Not necessarily. Not if your want-to didn't come from God.
Exactly.
If your want-to's of the flesh, you ain't going to get what you so desire.
That's it.
Now, granted, I'm persuaded that desire is askew as well.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
It says concerning Esau that he sought repentance carefully with tears. But he couldn't find it.
That's it.
Couldn't find it. Notice Paul didn't say, I preach Jesus Christ crucified. Did he?
No.
We don't preach a dead Jesus.
That's right.
He didn't say, I preach Jesus Christ crucified.
No.
He said, we preach Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Him crucified. Jesus Christ is the living Lord, who now sits at the right hand of God the Father, having been raised from the dead. That's the message of the gospel.
Amen.
We preach Jesus Christ. He's now exalted at the right hand of God the Father. But we don't just say that. We say he was crucified.
Yeah.
He was crucified. Thirdly, all subsequent building must therefore be upon that foundation.
Yeah.
Remember, the foundation is Jesus Christ. It's not faith.
Exactly. Right.
Because some faith's not valid.
Yeah, that's right.
Some faith is of this world.
Yeah.
Some faith is of the flesh. Some faith is dead faith.
Boy, yeah.
Right? Faith's not the foundation. Everybody's running around today about faith, faith. I believe in Jesus. There are people that's been in this place I have baptized who accept other people just because they say, I believe in Jesus. You don't accept anybody just because they say, I believe in. The devils believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
And they tremble.
Yes, sir.
They tremble. All subsequent building must be upon that, whether it's repentance. It's got to be built upon Christ. Repentance is not your foundation. If it is, you got the wrong foundation.
That's it.
See? The word is quite clear. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Are we?
That's it.
As a matter of fact, if you love something, you're going to engage in it.
Yeah.
If you at all possibly can, you're going to engage in it if you love it, don't you? Won't you? But let me tell you something. Our gathering together is what's built upon Christ. It's not the foundation. Christ is the foundation. Our gathering together is what we build, David, upon top of that. And on this point, number three, all subsequent building must therefore be upon that foundation. There are two points I want to make. Number one, there is an inferred fact. Number two, there's an explicit fact. Here's the inferred fact. Now, of course, God's got to give you this. If you get this, it'll be from God, but I'm trying to state it at least, Mason, academically so that it's sound doctrine. Here's the inferred fact. Any building, I'm not talking about building the item, but any building a person does, any construction that a person is doing, any building, on any other so-called foundation, neither the building nor the foundation has any place in God's salvation.
Amen.
You see, it's not, well, at least I'm building. It might not be the right foundation. No, if you're building on the wrong foundation, Paul's not even talking about you there.
Exactly.
Right? And if you got the right foundation, okay, but you're building upon that foundation things that have nothing to do with the foundation.
Yeah.
Did I not, and here, let me give you a scripture so maybe you'll get an idea of what I'm trying to get at here. Paul mentions it, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. As long as this is right, doesn't that sound right? Look at what he says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. Again, we'll begin there. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of what? Light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of what? Righteousness. You see, Satan and his emissaries are not out there trying to get people to get drunk.
Exactly.
They're going to get drunk without Satan's help.
That's exactly right.
It don't take the devil for a man to get drunk. It takes his deceitful lusts.
Yep.
Satan's not out there trying to get you to steal from your boss. You'll do that naturally.
Exactly.
Especially when you think your boss has done you wrong. He owes me. That's right. We try to justify those things.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's not where Satan's operation is, in the midst of a false gospel, which is not a gospel.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Satan is laying a false foundation, but it's a foundation that tries to emulate Jesus Christ. It has a name. It's called Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Paul says there'll people come along, they preach another Jesus.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Another. So if it's another Jesus, David, it's the wrong foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't matter what's being built on it. Well, y'all, we teach people not to do this. Well, that's okay if the scripture says not to do this. But if you're laying that on the wrong foundation, it is nothing more than the devil's work.
Amen.
That's
right?
It.
Right? The devils do that. They are ministers not of ungodliness, not of immorality, not of unrighteousness. They are ministers of righteousness. They don't just tell you not to get drunk. They tell you you can't drink.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's real righteousness, ain't it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a teetotaler. Now, you know that's got to be better than somebody that does. Right? If you don't ever touch it, you could never get drunk from it. Could you? But does touching it make one more susceptible to being sinful? No, because the problem doesn't lie in what you're laying hold of. The problem lies in here.
Yeah.
Well, our Lord touched it and drank it, and it didn't affect him.
That's exactly right.
Right? And yes, I'm using just an example that most of us are familiar with there. Not by experience necessarily, but some of us of that more than others, no doubt. There is this inferred fact. Any building on any other so-called foundation, neither, that is, the building or the foundation, has any place right here. Well, God's going to judge all these preachers out here, and if their works stand, if they're building on the wrong foundation, everything they're building is to their damnation.
Exactly.
Well, as it says, therefore it is of no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their what? Works.
Amen.
You better hope your end won't be according to your works.
That's exactly.
I don't care how many good ones you got. Because if you got one bad one, your end will be destruction.
Yeah. Exactly.
You can have a million good ones. If you got one bad one, you got to pay for it eternally.
That's it.
Or at least everlastingly. Here is the explicit fact. Any building upon the one foundation should be done with great consideration and care, because it is to build upon God's prize feature, and that's Jesus Christ himself. You see, that is, anything I say to you as I stand here attempting to build upon that foundation, it should be done with great care, because I am building upon Jesus Christ. Now, the truth is, some men will find their work burned.
Yep.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Because it's not an adequate building upon this great prize feature, the foundation, Jesus Christ. Yet that man will be saved.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Amen.
Yet so as by fire. Now you got these people saying this is all of us, when we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, this is what's going to happen to us. That's not what Paul is talking about. And then they relate this to getting crowns. Now it says there will be a reward. It doesn't tell you what it is.
Exactly.
And these people who go running to the crown passages are wet behind the ears.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't say you'll get a crown. It says you'll get a reward.
Yeah.
If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. It says that, right? But it also says this, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward.
Yes, sir.
But let me tell you this, if you've ever tried to speak to anyone else concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ, then you were building upon that one foundation.
Yes, sir. That's it.
And that work will be judged. I don't care whether you're a preacher, put that in quotes, or not.
Exactly.
You see, each one of us, we may not be sowing the seed, but we certainly are watering it when we begin to speak of the truth of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. These things should never be done, although I'm afraid they are. because that's why some men's works will be burned. These things should be never done haphazardously or carelessly, because we're building upon the person of Christ. We're saying this is related to Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
This is important because it fits with Jesus Christ. And we're saying this. Therefore, we better take great care that it does fit with Jesus Christ. Now, we know that Christ is God's prized feature. Got just a few minutes. Let me give you three passages here. Colossians chapter 1. And let me just read these. Well, let me just go to the, because of time. Verse 18. And he is the head of the body. Now, who's that talking about? Look at the context. It's Christ. Jesus Christ. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. What's the foundation? It's the beginning, right?
Yes, sir.
It's the most essential thing. If you start in the wrong place, you're not going to get to the right place.
Exactly.
You know, it's the old phrase, you can't get there from here. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Usually you tell somebody that when you really don't want to give them directions.
Yeah.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all he might have the preeminence. That means God, Jesus Christ is God the Father's prize feature.
Yes, sir.
Of all. Everything else hinges upon, relates to, points to, is based upon, it finds its strength in Jesus Christ. Isn't that what he just said?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things are held together. Mm-hmm. They consist. And why is this so? Why is it Jesus Christ has the preeminence? Because God wanted it that way.
Yes, sir.
For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell.
Amen.
Here's another passage, Ephesians 1. Verse 15. And Paul's talking about, I pray for you, right? And I pray for you concerning what God has done for you in Christ. That's what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says these things, this here, verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Now he's not just head over the church. He's head over all things to the church. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And again, back to chapter 1, or same chapter, back to the first part. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Where? In Christ.
Amen.
Anything that I have that is of any spiritual value comes in and through Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3, let me just sum that up, verses 9 and 10. Paul says that I might know what? Him. Him. There's a lot of things I like to know, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But if I don't know him, David, no matter how many things I know, I've missed everything. That I might know him. And then one other thing, and be found in him. Okay, so this second part of number three, and this explicit fact, any building upon the one foundation should be done with great consideration and care, because it is to build upon God's prize feature. You see, to insult the truth of Jesus Christ is to insult God.
That's it.
People say, well, Joe, you mentioned, why does it really matter if somebody doesn't believe in this or that? Because God said so.
Amen.
God said, this is the way I've ordained it, therefore that's the way it is. Not ought to be, is. It is the one foundation.
Yes, sir.
Now, if I refuse that foundation, not only are my works going to be burned, I'll be burned as well.
Yes, sir.
But even if I am building on that foundation, David, I better take care what I build with and how I build.
Amen. That's it.
Because I'm building upon God's foundation. Now let me give you this. Just a couple more minutes there. Just kind of summarize this. I want to just examine this point one and two a little further. That Christ is the only foundation, and this truth is of divine origin. You see, the gospel we're preaching, the truth that we're preaching, this did not originate in the minds of men. Man would not have thought up this kind of truth.
That's exactly right.
Because it not only, it doesn't make man secondary and God primary. It makes men out to be less than the small dust of the balance. But it's worse than that. It makes us out to be as the dung of the earth. And worse than that, it says God either purposed to love us or to hate us. And it wasn't based upon anything that we ever had done or would do. There are people who get upset at folks for saying God looked down on Adam's race and chose some, passed by others, but that's not even the truth. We weren't fallen when God chose. We had not fallen. Now, did God know we were going to fall? Yes, but we had not fallen. Somebody said, well, God considered us fallen. Where do you find that at? You don't find that. We fail in Adam.
Yes.
We did not fall before Adam. We fail in Adam and in Adam only. And as a matter of fact, we were pronounced in Adam in the beginning when he was created as good. All of us were. All of humanity was pronounced good. Did we stand in Adam? Yes or no?
Yes.
We were pronounced good. We fell in Adam. Now here's the point. God purposed the salvation of the elect even before the elect needed it. You see, some people get mad about election. They really get mad when you tell them this truth. And here it is. It is what I would call the central theme of Christ the foundation. Verse 11 of Romans chapter 9. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, good ones or bad ones, right? No works were considered. There were no works. Somebody said God chose sinners. Where's that at?
Yeah.
It's not in the book. Now, God chose individuals who fell in Adam and became sinners, but God didn't choose sinners. Matter of fact, somebody said, and I know people say it, and I know where some of them are coming from, therefore I don't get too uptight with them. People say God loves sinners. No, he don't. Scripture said God hates all workers of iniquity. God loves his people. And he loved us before we were sinners. Because in the mind and purpose of God, we existed as accepted in the beloved. Look, I'm going to read it. Not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now this fact is not preached, and it is not readily accepted, readily believed, even amongst grace people. There were times when I tried to preach this and at times were reprimanded. But this is the truth of Scripture. God did not choose out of Adam's fallen race. God chose even before we fail.
Yes.
Now think about this. Mankind fail in Adam. All mankind fail in Adam. Elect as well as reprobate fail in Adam. But we were elected or reprobated before we were ever in Adam.
Amen.
Before we ever fail in Adam.
Yes, sir.
Where did we fall from?
Yeah.
We fell from our original state in Adam. We fell from fellowship with God. We fell from uprightness before God. We fell from goodness. God said we were good.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, God said we were very good. We fell from spiritual ability. Where at one time we and our father Adam was spiritually able, we fail and lost all that. But no one ceased from their decreed place by God. You still remained either loved of God or hated of God.
That's it.
Because we were loved of God or hated of God before we ever fail in Adam. Now, is that what this book teaches? It's got to be what it teaches. Or else the creation of Adam and God's declaration of him as good is nothing more than lies. And the scripture, Paul says, is clear. The children neither having done, not being born, or neither having done any good or evil. So that the purpose of God, according to election, would what? Stand. Continue to be. It was said to her. Now, that's not when it was the election took place. That's when it was said to her, the elder is going to serve the younger. Why? Because I loved one and I hated the other.
Exactly.
Now, they both fell in Adam. But that original condition, that state, the fallen Adam didn't change that, did it? It didn't. You see, man was not eternally fallen. There's a lot of people running around preaching that's the truth. We were eternally fallen, you know. Look at it. What does it actually say? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump? And I used to do it because I was just afraid to tell the truth. Because I was afraid somebody would get upset, afraid somebody would get peeved off at it. Of the same lump. Well, we were all a fallen lump. You heard me say that. You could go back and get some of the tapes. You'll hear me say that. I was wrong. That's not what this says. It says, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same. What is the lump? The lump is neutral.
Yeah.
The lump is nothing. It's just a lump.
Exactly.
To make one unto honor and one unto what?
Dishonor.
Dishonor.
Amen.
The lump was not dishonorable, and then he made some of us honorable.
No.
When you say of the same lump, well, we were a fallen lump, that's what you're trying to say. No, God says through Paul, here's who I am. I'm the potter.
Yep.
You were clay.
Exactly.
You were of the same lump. You were just a lump. Yep. And I made some of you unto honor, and I make some of you into dishonor. Now, you talking about absolute sovereignty.
Yes, sir.
That is absolute sovereignty. Amen. It's easy to say. And I've heard people say it. I've said it. I can understand how God hated Esau. Esau had not fallen when God hated him.
Exactly.
It was before they were born, and they had not done any good or evil.
Exactly.
Yet God hated him. Why? Because God's sovereign and wanted to. Now, let me tell you something. Now, you think I stand here and tell you that lightly. I don't. Because I fought through this truth for many years. And sat and tried to kowtow around it and play around it and do all of this and do all. That's what this book teaches.
Yes, sir.
That's the foundation. God Almighty is absolutely sovereign. He does nothing that is contingent.
Exactly.
Nothing. And yet, even grace, we grace people can make, well, God had to choose some of us, but we all went to hell. Who says? Well, where's that at in the book? Huh? God purposed the fall to do two things, show his grace and show his wrath.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And that's what he says right there in Romans 9.
Yes, sir.
He shows grace to some and wrath to others. Why? Because he wants to. And let me tell you something. You get that as the foundation of Jesus Christ, you'll have a solid foundation.
Amen.
Because then when somebody comes along and tells you, God can't do this and God can't do that, you'll know, neighbor, you're on the wrong foundation.
Yes, for sure.
You might have a house, but you're building on sand.
Yeah.
God Almighty, let me put it this way. God Almighty has already foreordained, predestinated, determined before everything that will be done.
Amen.
If it happens, once it does happen, and it's an assured thing, Joe, then we can be assured God Almighty predestinated that before the world was.
Amen.
Now, if it don't happen, God didn't purpose it, Mason.
Exactly.
I can be sure of nothing that's not happened yet unless God says it will happen.
Yeah.
But if it has happened, David, God ordained it. Whether it's the most despicable act of men or the most righteous act of God himself, God Almighty purposed it to be done. And I'm here to tell you that's the foundation.
Yes, sir.
Because Jesus Christ is none other than who? That God.
Amen.
That sovereign God.
Amen.
Father, I pray that as we continue together, and even those who can't stay here with us, that we be mindful of one another, think about one another. May we enjoy one another's company. Now, thank you for the food. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.